We've been on a study lately called Maturing into Spiritual Adulthood. Maturing into Spiritual Adulthood. And last week, to recap last week's message briefly, we talked about the voice. A person maturing into spiritual adulthood learns to distinguish the Heavenly Father's voice from the other voices vying for his attention. Say it again. A spiritually maturing person learns to distinguish the Heavenly Father's voice, God's voice, from the other voices around him. And also, a spiritually maturing son or daughter not only distinguishes the voice of God, but also obeys what the voice of God is telling him or her to do. So hearing the voice of God and doing what God is telling you to do. Today I want to talk about another practice of a spiritually maturing adult. Another practice of a spiritually maturing adult, and it's reading his word. Reading his word. You know, a person who really wants to grow in his walk with God must be reading and studying the written word of God. If you're wanting to spiritually mature in your walk with God, you've got to be reading and studying, meditating upon the word of God. Now, how many here have read a famous person's autobiography? Anybody? All right, maybe it's been Ronald Reagan's An American Life or Billy Graham's Just As I Am. Though you may not know the person directly, the autobiography gives you a closer look into his or her life so that you feel that you know that person better. So when you read an autobiography, you may not know that person personally, but the autobiography gives you a closer look into that person's life so that you feel like you know them just a little bit better. And I'm here to tell you today that this Bible, the Scriptures, you can consider the autobiography of God. It gives you a closer look at the nature of God. It causes you to know God better. Say it with me. The Word of God is like the autobiography of God. All right. Jesus in John 5:18, speaking to the Jews, communicates to them that he and the Father are equal, and they were upset with him. In John 5, verse 18, they tried to kill him because he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And then Jesus says later on in John 5:39, he says, "You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me." Jesus says the Scriptures testify about him. Now, if Jesus and the Father are one, and the Scriptures testify or give witness to Jesus, that means that the Scriptures also give witness to what? To the nature of God the Father. 2 Timothy 3:16, famous verse. 2 Timothy, I believe I have it right, 3:16. Paul writes, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." All right. He says, all Scripture is God-breathed. So God did what? God breathed out the Scriptures. He inspired the human authors to hear him, and they recorded on paper what they heard from God. So in essence, God and his Word are equal. When you read the Word of God, you're reading all about God. You're learning the nature of God more closely because all Scripture is God-breathed. And perhaps the biggest part of God's nature is that God is what? 1 John 4:8. God is love. God is love. God is holy. So we'll talk about the Word of God here for the next few minutes. Number one, the Word of God, as we talked about, does what? It reveals what about God, the Father? It reveals the very nature of God. Say it again. The Scriptures, the written Word of God, reveals the very nature of God. You find out as you read the Scriptures that the God we serve is a God of forgiveness. He is a God of love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You find out that God is holy, that God is righteous, that sin cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. You find out by reading the scriptures that God is good, that God is the author of good. And so this awesome God that you learn about from the scripture is the God that you want to imitate. How many here agree that God is awesome? God is love. God is holy. God is good. You want to imitate this God that you read about in the scripture, right? Paul writes in Ephesians 5:1, "Be ye therefore imitators of God." And as you get into the Word of God and you read the Word of God and you think about what you read and you learn about the nature of this awesome God that we serve, you want to be more like that God. And as you become more like God who is love and God who is holy and God who is good, you become more like God. You're growing in your walk with God. You're becoming a spiritually mature adult. Is that making sense here today? So God is good. There's awesomeness revealed about God in the scripture. And as you read that, you're just overwhelmed by the goodness of God. And you want to imitate this good God. And as you imitate Him, as you make the conscious effort to imitate Him, you become more like Him, and thus you're growing spiritually. Is that good? So the Word of God reveals what? The nature of God. Number two, we talked about this last week a little bit. The written Word of God also reveals the what of God? It reveals the, we talked about it last week, it reveals the voice of God. The psalmist writes in Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." The scriptures testify, give witness to God. The scriptures are pretty much, when you read them and study them, it's God speaking to you. All right? So God speaks to us, reveals His voice a lot of times through His written word. And, you know, I've had, just to give you a personal example here, I've called certain people in the past to do work on my homes and on my home. And a lot of them haven't kept their word. They're not so reliable. They're not so responsible. And they say they'll do something, they'll show up, and they never do. And man, I'll tell you, at those times, I've had this feeling of vindictiveness on the inside to write them a bad review on a website. And I also work on people's homes. And to try to get even, you know, I've wanted to write these reviews at times on these irresponsible contractors. But by reading the Word of God and knowing the Word of God and knowing what it says in Galatians 5:7, that whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap, I've been careful not to badly, negatively review these contractors, these people who work on homes. Because if I negatively review them, I know that the Word of God says that what goes around comes around, that what a man sows, that also shall he reap. It's a spiritual law, right? Sowing and reaping is a spiritual law, that whatever you sow and do to another person eventually will come back to you. So that even though I've wanted to negatively review some of these people publicly on a website, I haven't. Because I know from the Word of God that if I do it to somebody else, in the future somebody else may do it to me. That's God's Word doing what in my life? That's God's Word speaking into my life. That's the voice of God speaking into my life, saying, "Jonathan, be careful. Whatever you sow into somebody else, you will also reap." And we can also sow good into other people, right? Words of encouragement into other people's lives. So that in the future, when we need a word of encouragement, we will reap that from somebody else. So number two, the Word of God reveals the what of God? The voice of God. Number one, it reveals what of God? The nature of God. Number two, it reveals the voice of God. And, real importantly, the Word of God helps us fight off the enemy's temptations. The enemy's temptations. And Jesus used the Word as a sword in Matthew chapter 4. And we can do the same. Let me read this real quick. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Matthew 4:1, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point in the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And when Jesus quoted, he was quoting from Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Again, Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Is that good, guys? It's from the Word of God, right? So Jesus, every time the devil tempted him to do something unholy, Jesus did what? He quoted, he swung his sword, the Word, the written Word of God from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And after three times of swinging that sword at the devil, it says what? That the devil left him and the angels came and attended Jesus. And guess what, friends? If the devil did it to Jesus, God the Son, he's going to do it to us. He's going to try to throw temptations across, spiritual temptations across your path. Temptations to drink and get drunk. Get high on drugs. Look at things with your eyes you should not be looking at. You know, harming somebody in some way. He's going to throw temptations across your path. But the way to resist the devil and cause him to flee is to do what?
Submit to the Lord.
It's to speak the Word of God, the written Word of God, like Jesus did. So the Word of God helps us fight off the enemy's temptations. Right? Helps us fight off the enemy's sinful temptations. And when you quote the Word, the enemy, if there's something that makes the devil's spine tingle and makes him want to run faster than lightning, it's what? It is the written Word of God swung right in his face. All right? So you've got to know the Word of God, and when you speak it to the enemy, guess what? He's going to flee. You know, if the enemy tries to put fear and worry in your mind, you just quote the Word of God. Devil, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And guess what? That fear is going to leave you, because tormenting fear is not of God. It is of the devil. Is that making sense? And as you quote the Word of God to fight off the enemy's temptations, you're becoming more what? You're becoming holy as God is holy. The enemy's trying to throw temptations across your path to get drunk, to look at things you shouldn't be looking at, to say words you shouldn't be saying. But as you quote the Word to the enemy and he flees, guess what? Those temptations lose hold over your life, and you're becoming righteous and holy as God is holy. And as you become holy and righteous as God is holy, you're growing spiritually in your walk with God. You're becoming a spiritually mature son and daughter. Right? All right. You know, it does no good for the Word of God to just sit on your shelf, to sit in your bag, near your bed, collecting dust. The Word of God is important in revealing the nature of God and revealing the voice of God and fighting off the enemy's temptations. But the Word of God will do you no good if it's just sitting in a bag beside your bed. The Word of God has got to be on the inside of you. Psalmist writes, thy word have I stored up in my heart, God, that I might not sin against you. You've got to store up the Word of God on the inside of you, in your heart, in your spirit. Is that making sense? You know, just having the Word of God close to your heart, physically, but not reading it, is not going to get the Word of God into you by some type of osmosis. You got to be cracking the book. Is that making sense? You got to be reading the book, not twice or three times a year. You know, some people say, well, I read the Word of God on Easter. I read it at Thanksgiving. I read it at Christmas. Three times a year is not enough, friend. You got to be reading the Word of God, not even once or twice a week. You've got to be reading the Word of God 7 days a week if you want to spiritually mature in your walk with God. 7 days a week. Not 2 or 3 days a week or 4 days a week, 7 days a week. You may not have a whole lot of time to read a whole lot of word, but you can probably read 2 or 3 scriptures from Genesis, from Matthew, from John. Is that making sense?